We begin Perek Sheni, the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Eivin, the laws of mixing together the domains in Sefer Zman, in the book of the designated times, which we continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding that of Erev. In this Perek, we discuss specifically what is problematic for people that are problematic in the Erev. Halacha Alf discusses regarding the nullification of one's domain as for a Jew. That is, Anshei Chatzar She'Erev Kulam. Let's say all the people of the courtyard, they all made Erev together, great, everyone's going to be able to carry in this common courtyard. Chutz me'achad mehem, shalei erimam. One member didn't make the Erev with them. Now, bein mezu, whether they did it deliberately, bein shechel, whether they forgot, it doesn't make a difference. He's going to make it forbidden for them because he has a portion throughout the entire courtyard, which therefore, there is someone here that didn't join in the Erev, and it's not all considered as one rishus, which was the purpose, that everyone is considered as living in the same home where the food is. There's one person that's sticking out over here. So it's forbidden for them all to carry out from their homes into the courtyard of mechatzal b'tehem, or from the courtyard to their homes. But bite lohem, if he nullifies his rights, zeshle erev, this guy did not make the erev, rishus chatzeiroi bovad, only his rights in the courtyard. He's like, I don't have any rights in the courtyard. Oh, hadeil matam, lohitzel hachnes mebatem lochatzel mechatzel batem. Now they're allowed to carry in and out from their homes to the courtyard, the courtyard to their homes, because it's all one rishus. Everyone who's there is all living in that one house where they put the food, because that other guy who didn't join, he has no rights in this courtyard. Aval beisai aser. But to this guy's house, it's forbidden because that is his own area that he didn't join with everyone else. Everyone else does not have rights in his house. Now, but if he nullifies his rights that he has not only in the courtyard but also in his home, okay, they're all permitted. Why? Haim, everyone else, because they all made an Erev together, and the one guy who was not part of the Erev, he's mavatl, he nullifies his rights in his own home and in the courtyard, so there's no one here that's in the way that didn't join the courtyard, because this guy is like a home, it's a ownless home. And he's also permitted too. Why is he permitted? He didn't join the Erev. Because he has no rights anymore. Because he doesn't own the home, so to speak, doesn't own the courtyard, and he gave up his rights. He's like a guest by them, who happens to be staying in the home that's really his. And the guest does not make it forbidden not joining in the Erev, or not only doesn't make it forbidden, he also is not forbidden, because he's a guest who is part of this one common Rishos Sayachim. Now, if someone doesn't specify, he just says, this guy who did not join the Erev, he says, okay, I'm nullifying my rights. So Rishus Chatzer Bittel, we presume that he's only nullifying his rights in the courtyard. Rishus basically Bittel, generally a person will not give him the rights in his own home. So therefore, again, everyone's going to be able to carry in the courtyard, but not with this guy's house. Now, if someone does this Bittel of his rights to the people of the courtyard, he has to explicitly go and tell every single person that is nullifying his rights in the courtyard. Vayman, he says, Rishusi, my rights here in the courtyard, Mubatelus l'cha, 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 has to tell every single person that's in that common courtyard that he's nullifying his rights to them. Now, v'hayyayrish mubatel rishus, an inheritor also can nullify the rights. Ava bishem es merish b'shabbos, even though the one that he inherited from, let's say his uncle, his father, whatever it is, died on Shabbos, and he didn't join the Erev, the one who's the Yairish, the inheritor, could be mevatel on Shabbos, because Shayyirish come, tachas merish l'chad dava. The inheritor takes over all the rights of the Mayirish for all halachic purposes, and ubitzel rishus b'shabbos, mutlak etchila. You're allowed to nullify rights. You don't do the Erev on Shabbos, but you can nullify the rights on Shabbos, even initially, and like you're not here, and therefore there's no one else that's in the way of the Erev happening. Halacha gimel. Bitlu ilama of rishus sam. Let's say the other way around. Let's say those who made the Erev, all other 500 people there in the community, they nullify their Erev, their rights, lezesh le'erev, to this one guy who didn't join the Erev. So humutah, he's permitted, shahrei nishalabad, he's the only one that has rights in the courtyard. Everyone else says, we have no more rights anymore. And as an individual, you don't need an Erev. The heimashum, but they're forbidden, shalei nishalim rishus, because they don't have any more rights. And that is meaning the chiddush is ve'inam. We don't say you karchem. It's like, oh, so it's a rishus yochav for that one guy. Let all the other 500 people be guests by him. Shein rab morchen etzalacha. We don't say that the many are guests by the individual. We'll say an individual are guests by the many, but not the other way around. Halacha dalt. Hayu elu shle ervu. Now, if those who did not make the erva shnayim ayaser. So before we talk about one person not joining the erva, let's say those who didn't join the erva two or more. In bitl rishusam ha'arvin, so if they nullified their rights in the courtyard to those who made the Erev ha'arvin matarvin, so those who made the Erev permitted, the elosh le'erev asur, and those who did not join the Erev, they're forbidden. In other words, although we said before that that guy who gives up his rights, he's actually permitted because he's a guest, we don't say that a multitude, meaning two or more, are considered guests, and therefore they will be forbidden. Now, ve'enim ha'arvin yechayim levat l'vashuzim l'shnayim shle'erev. Now, to do the other way around, those who made the Erev cannot nullify their rights to the two who did not make an Erev, because even if you could do that, because it's not to an individual, each one of them is making forbidden on the other one, because there's still two people who didn't join the Erev. So even if they'll give the rights to that one person, where we said, then he'll be able to carry it and everyone else won't, here they can't, because their two didn't join. So even though the other one's given the rights, those two themselves don't have an Erev. And even if one of them who did not join the Erev, he then subsequently goes, he nullified his rights to the second guy who did not join the Erev, after those who did the Erev nullified their rights to those two, Harizai is still going to make a forbidden for that other guy, because when those who joined in the Erev went and nullified their rights to these two guys, Asahayi was forbidden, because at that point it was the two of them. So even though subsequently he's nullifying, it's too late. It's not going to help what they did to them to then go pass it on to that other one. Now, Echad She'erev, meaning now the Rambam is talking about regarding when you have two people who joined together in the Erev, and the third guy did not join the Erev. So therefore, if the third guy goes and nullifies his rights, the other two are going to be permitted to carry. But if one of them who joined in the Erev, meaning if one of the two that joined the Erev, he cannot nullify, he cannot nullify his domain to that third guy who did not join the Erev, because you're still going to have two people left who didn't join with each other. And that's what the Rambam says when he says, Aval ha'echad shalei erev, but the guy who did not join the Erev, mevatel reshusa le'echad she'erev, he can nullify his rights to the one guy who made the Erev. What do you mean to the one guy? I thought there's two guys. He means if one of the two who joined the Erev died, because if he'd still be alive, and you have two that didn't join the Erev, you'd have mevatel each and every one, as we said before. The third guy would have mevatel to both. He would be saying to one of them, even to say, because now the other guy who joined the Erev died, now it's only the guy who didn't join the Erev, and the guy who did join the Erev, he could nullify his reshus to the one guy who did make the Erev. Halacha hey, k'shem shebal habayis zeh. Just like this homeowner, mevatel reshus lebal habayis zeh, could nullify his rights to this other homeowner, b'chatz achas in the same courtyard. So you could nullify from one courtyard to another courtyard. In other words, if your two courtyards open up to each other and they open up to the Rishus HaRabim, if one of them wants to nullify their rights to the other one, so then they'll be forbidden because they're not joining in the Erev, but the other one will be permitted to carry. Actually, you could also do Bittel and then do another Bittel. Ketzah, how so? What does that mean that you could do a nullification and then do a different nullification? So let's say you have Shnaim Shashnu B'chatzar. Let's say you have two people living in the courtyard. And one of them did not make an Erev. So what you could do is Mavatel Rishus L'Sheni. He could nullify his rights to the second guy. So it comes out that the second guy could carry in his rights, Shabit L'Chaveira, that his friend nullified to him, so there's no one else here because he gave up his rights, until that guy takes care of what he has to do that he had to carry. And then Mechaiza Sheni, this is where the second bitl goes. Now the second guy goes Mavatel Rishus L'Rishin. He nullifies his rights to the first guy. Now the first guy could carry in the rights that this guy nullified to him. So too many times. Go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because ultimately it's only one at a time, because the other guy is nullifying his rights. The Yesh Bitl Rishus B'churban is also the same halacha of nullifying your rights in a ruin, a dilapidated building, just like it is in a courtyard. In other words, we don't say that the halacha of Bitl Rishus is only effective in a chatzah, where that's where the primary utility of a people. No, you could even do that in the churba, the same type of halacha. Halacha Vav. Now, someone who nullified his rights. Now, so let's say there's 100 people in there and say, this guy didn't join the Erev, can't carry. He says, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so I'm about my rights. Don't worry, I'm not going to have to carry. You guys could all carry. And then, he goes and he carries on Shabbos in that area that he would nullify his rights. So, in the maze of rights, if he deliberately goes out Shabbos afternoon, he's carrying out his cup of coffee. Or he's being forbidden on them. He doesn't stand by his nullification. He's taking his rights, and he didn't join the Erev, so it's not going to work. But then b'shoyge to be carried by mistake, he's not going to make it forbidden. He still retains with his nullification. He just didn't realize he did it by mistake. Now, when we say this, only if the ones that he nullified his rights to did not go first and take possession in the common area that he gave up his rights to. And he went out first with his coffee. But if they went first and they took possession, they carried out, showing that it's a good Erev because this guy gave up his rishos. If he subsequently goes out, now he carries out his coffee, too late. Whether by mistake, whether deliberately, he's not going to make a forbidden them because they really took possession of this courtyard for the rishos that is mevatli, can't take it back. Halacha Zayin. Shnei batim mishnei tzid rishos ram. Two homes and two sides of the public domain. And then the Gentiles go and surround these two homes on the two sides, surrounding the entire perimeter with partitions on Shabbos. So although now it's like it's Rosh Hashanah, they cannot nullify their rights one to the other to allow each one on their own time to carry now in this common area, which is now Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Since yesterday, before Shabbos, they weren't able to make an Erev because at that point there was no Mechitzis, and since it's already forbidden for part of Shabbos, it becomes forbidden for the whole Shabbos. Now, if you have one of the people of the courtyard that made an Erev with the rest of the people of the courtyard, but Shemesh that he passed away, now he left over in his will that an inheritor for someone that doesn't live in the complex, someone who is from the street. If he died from before Shabbos, the inheritor who is not one of the people of this courtyard, Yisraelim is going to make it forbidden on them because he's not part of the Erev. Now, if he died when it was already Shabbos in Yisraelim, then he's not going to make it forbidden on them because since it was permitted already for part of Shabbos, it remains permitted for the rest of Shabbos. Now, the Echem and Ashuk Shemesim, let's say someone who didn't live in the neighborhood, someone from the street, who he died and he had an apartment in this courtyard. And he left over his property. It's like someone else who lived there already in that development. He says, hey, you can get the property, and that guy inherits it. So if this guy died when it was before Shabbos, in Yisraelim, so he's not going to make it forbidden on them, this inheritor, they're all part of the Erev. He made an Erev for his own apartment. That's including his other apartment that he inherits. But if let's say that other person who didn't live over here died when it was already Shabbos, where now you can't go ahead and make an Erev anymore because Shabbos, Yisraelim, he will make it forbidden for them, because there's this apartment that he owns that doesn't, it's not part of the Erev, and you can't do it on Shabbos, unless until the inheritor nullifies the rights that he has to the other people, that then there won't be a problem because of the halacha of bittel. Halacha ches, which that you could do on Shabbos. Halacha ches, Yisrael beger, if you have a Jew and a convert, that they're dwelling in the same cave, and the convert died from before Shabbos. So, and the significant about a ger is that he doesn't have any relatives, possibly because he's like a new person that's reborn again. And now the convert died before Shabbos. So even though no other Jew took possession into his, of his property until it became Shabbos, the one who takes possession, even though it's only after Shabbos starts, will make it forbidden. So although when Shabbos started, this apartment that the rights that the ger had no owner, because the ger had already died and no one took possession, there's no relative, there's no next of kin, and it shouldn't make it forbidden. Even so, we don't say, since it was permitted when Shabbos started, it's permitted for the whole Shabbos, because it was fit for any other Jew to take possession of it from before Shabbos. So the one who ultimately takes possession will make it forbidden, until he nullifies his rights. He halachically has the status like inheritor, so inheritor could be mevatel even when Shabbos started, from what he took over from the one who he inherited from. Now, if the convert died after Shabbos already started, with he had an Erev, which took effect from when Shabbos started, even though another Jew took possession on Shabbos, he's not going to make it forbidden on everyone else. It remains with its original heter, even though that Jew who took it over is not part of the Erev, or even if it was, it wasn't, the Erev wasn't part of that, it will remain with its original heter because the ger had been alive when Shabbos started. Halacha test regarding a Gentile renting his property. So Yisrael Hadar Magoy, if a Jew dwells with a non-Jew, Oim Ger Toshav, or a resident convert, which he keeps the seven Noahide laws, but he's not a Jew, but Chatz in the same courtyard, Eino Eiselov, he does not make it forbidden on the Jew to carry, even though when there's another Jew, you can't carry unless you make an Erev, because Shadir is like, hey, in the dwelling, the apartment of a non-Jew is not considered as another apartment. In this halach, is considered like an animal. Now, if there is two Jews or more, the goyishach and the non-Jew dwells with them, then I raise Islam. Then actually, he's going to make it forbidden on them. Now, but this is a rabbinic decree, that they shouldn't be living in the same neighborhood as a Gentile, that they should not learn from his actions, from his behaviors. Now, if that's the case, why didn't he make this gezeira that you're going to have to, that's going to be forbidden to carry on Shabbos, which is a deterrent? Why didn't you say the same thing about one Jew and one Gentile? Why is it only about two Jews and one Gentile? Because that's not common for such a thing, for one Jew to be living with the Gentile. Because he's afraid that maybe he's going to be secluded with the Gentile and that he's going to kill him, which he's not so afraid when there's another Jew in the neighborhood. They're made forbidden to be secluded with a Gentile, so therefore, they didn't have to make the gezeirah because it's not a common thing. They don't make gezeirahs when it's not common, but when there's two Jews, which is more common, he's not so afraid. So then, actually, that's when we said, okay, then you can't carry in that chatzah. Halacha Yud. Shnei Yisrael Megal Echad Hashechin Mechatz Achas. So if you do have two Jews and one non-Jew dwelling in the same courtyard, the Erev Yisrael La'atzmam, and the Jews make their own Erev. Lo Yili Klum. They have not affected anything. Like we said, you can't make an Erev when there is a Gentile. Even if they nullify their rights to the Gentile, or bitlem, or the Gentile nullifies to them, or bitlem, or let's say one Jew nullifies to the other one, and then Menaser Kiyachar Magoy. So it's like they're an individual, so to speak, because one Jew nullifies his rights with the Gentile, which we said one Gentile with a Jew is okay. Lohi luklum. That's not going to affect anything. She'ein erev moyel b'makom goy, because an erev does not help where there's a Gentile. Vein bitlem shus moyel b'makom goy. Neither does nullification of rights work when there's a Gentile. And like we said, because once there's more than one Jew, it is common, and we're not going to allow you to carry. There's no remedy. Elabot, she is skudu mimen rishus. They have to rent his rights from him. And the Gentile has to be as if he's a guest by them. Now, the reason why they instituted this was because the sages wanted to distance as much as possible the Jews dwelling with the Gentiles, and therefore they were stringent that there's no remedy until you rent from him rishus, which he's not going to want to easily just rent his property. He's like, what's going on over here? And therefore, that will prevent the Jew from dwelling over there because he's not going to have to carry on Shabbos. So therefore, that will affect that purpose. So if there were many Gentiles, they could lease out their rights to the Jews. And then the Jews can make an Erev, and then it's permitted. If one Jew from the neighborhood rents the property from the Gentile, he can make an Erev with the other Jews. And they're all permitted because not every Jew has to rent it from the Gentile. As long as one Jew rents it, it's already okay to make the Erev. If you have two courtyards, one from within the other, the way to get into the inner courtyard is to go through the outer courtyard. And you have a Jew and a Gentile living in the inner courtyard, and you have one Jew living in the outer courtyard. Or a different case, you have a Jew and a Gentile in the outer courtyard, and you have one Jew living in the inner courtyard. It's going to make it forbidden on the outer, the Jew who lives in the outer courtyard, to carry until he rents from the Gentile. The reason for that is because since everyone goes through the outer courtyard, it's like as if even the Jew from the inner courtyard lives in the outer courtyard. So you're having the outer courtyard, at least, not the inner one. You're having the outer one, two Jews and one Gentile living together, which we said you can't carry until you rent. Because the legs of the two Jews and the Gentile are all going to be the outer one. But the inner Jew could carry in the inner courtyard, whether he's by himself or even with the Gentile, because only one Jew, one Gentile. The Jew on the outside has no rights in the inner one. They all have rights to walk through the outer one, because that's the way to get out. Halachin base. You could rent the rights of the property from the Gentile even on Shabbos, because Shaskir is Kapitul Rishusi. Really, this rental of the property from the Gentile really is like a nullification of rights on the part of the Gentile, because in the Shaskir Badoi, it's not a real rental. It's just like some type of recognition, which, and therefore it's not really similar to Mekach Memka, which is forbidden to be done business dealings on Shabbos. Therefore, for that same reason, you could rent from the Gentile, even something worth less than the Pruta, because it's not a real transaction. And even the wife of the Gentile can lease it out without his awareness. So to his attendant or his worker, they also can rent out his property without his awareness. And even if his worker or his attendant was a Jew, he can lease it out without the Gentile's awareness. Even if someone borrows from a Gentile, mokum, a place, to put his object in the non-Jew's property, v'shiloi, and he lends it to him. So like on some level, this Jew is a partner with him in his property. And he could also lease it out to the rest of the Jewish community without his awareness. Now, if this Gentile had many workers or many attendants or many wives, if the one that's leasing out to the Jews are any one of them, it's going to be enough for this halacha of schiras. So if you have two Jews, one Gentile living in one courtyard, and then they rented the property from the Gentile on Shabbos, which you're allowed to do, but they didn't make an Erev from before Shabbos, so what you can do is you could have one Jew nullify his rights in the courtyard to the other Jew, and then that guy can carry. And again, you could go back and forth, like we said. Same thing as let's say the Gentile dies on Shabbos. So that one Jew nullifies his rights to the other Jew, and then that one Jew could carry on Shabbos. If one Gentile rent out an apartment to a different Gentile, if the first Gentile cannot just kick out that second Gentile, this Hasheni, the second one, until the rental agreement is up, then you rent the apartment, his rights in the courtyard, from that second Gentile. It's like his property. Shari nichlin sachas bam, because he's taking the place of the owner. But v'im yesh reshus l'rishon, but if there's still rights to the first one, meaning the landlord, lohitza goy ha'seichem, and to kick out the Gentiles, render him mechol yitzritzim, whenever he wants to. So im lo hoya sheni omer, if the second guy wasn't there standing around there, v'sachay sel l'rishon, and the Jews rented from the first one, from the landlord, hari el mutar, then they're permitted, because ultimately it's still like he's there, because he can kick out the renter whenever he wants to. Halacha tezvav, chatzar, a courtyard, she'israel m'goy shrumba, that Jews and the Gentile live over there. And there were windows that opened, Mebeis Yisrael Zeh, Lebeis Yisrael Zeh. It's a townhouse. And there's a window opening up from one Jewish home to another Jewish home. For us, Eiv Dechalins actually made an Eiv through the windows. That through the windows that are between them, the Eiv between them took effect, where there the Gentile has no right to get in the way over there. So although they're allowed to carry from one house to another one through the windows, but still, Harim assume lohitzim bayis labayis, but still, now carry from house to house, derech pesachim, through their front doors, nehagoy, because the Gentile, which is there in the same common courtyard, ashiyaska, until they're in from him. Because she'in yadab, nasim erev kiyachim, b'makam agoy, because like we said, the many do not become through an erev, like an individual, in the place when there's a Gentile, to be like, oh, one with one, ultimately, they're more than one Jew, it's going to be forbidden until they're in from him. Look at the Zayin. Now, what's regarding an erev with someone that's a meshumen, someone that's a Jew who doesn't keep the Jewish law? So Yisrael Shumachal Shabbos Befahasi. We have a Jew that publicly desecrates the Shabbos. Or he worships idolatry. He's like a Gentile of all halachas. And the Ema Orv Nema, you cannot do an Eir with him, like we said, regarding a Gentile. You cannot nullify his rights. You rent the property of him like you do for with a Gentile. But if even those that are an Epicurus, those who deny certain precepts from the Torah, they don't worship idolatry. They don't desecrate the Shabbos. For example, the Tzedek and the Baisesin. These are the students of Tzedek and Baises. And all those who deny the oral law, they say, yeah, the written law is true, but not the oral law. The rule of it is like this. Whoever does not admit to the mitzvah of Erev, which they don't, this rabbinic invention, you cannot make the Erev with him, because he doesn't agree to the halach of Erev. They ain't Tzedek, at the same time, you can't rent from him, because he's not that bad, in that way, to treat him like a Gentile. But he could nullify his rights to a kosher Jew. That's the remedy when you're dealing with those types of Jews. So too, if let's say there was one Jew that was upstanding, and this one Sadducee, Bechatzer, in the courtyard, again, he's going to make it forbidden for him to carry until he nullifies his rights over there, because these are two Jews, just one doesn't admit to the laws and he can't make an Erev together. He would have to nullify his rights to allow the Jew who does keep the Torah to carry in the common courtyard.